Now 2 p.m. Hope I got to do that over. Today is February 3rd, 2015. This is the meeting of the Recovery Plan Review Committee. And it's now 2 p.m.
Now 2:02 on Tuesday, January the 3rd.
February
3rd. February 3rd. I'm okay. All right, I'm way behind. 2:02 on Tuesday, February the 3rd. The recovery plan meeting will now call to order. Commissioner Smith and Commissioner Richardson are present. And staff is Valerie Brown and Carlos Pizarro and the Executive Director, Benjamin Stevenson, and Brenda Goodman, the Secretary. First order of business will be the approval of the minutes. If there's no errors or omissions, I'll receive a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second. All in favor? Aye.
That's a aye.
Vote, and I so declare it. All business.
Okay, we got a presentation for you, but before we do that, just want to give you a brief update on the sale of the properties. Okay. Still have not heard anything from her. I did outreach to them last week. Via email, and I have not gotten a response back. Now just being polite, they're saying, hey, you gotta have it for a while. Do you have any questions? Because they called, I think, probably in November, December, and he told me all the matter problems they were concerned with the environmentals. We've got that resolved, have not heard any more questions from them on that one. And on the 10th Street property, again, no word from them. And I did send an email requesting, asking if they had any questions, because, again, that one's already been approved by the SAC office. Mm-hmm. And all we can do is just let them know what we plan to do, which we have. And the developer has had a meeting with the city, he and the anchor tenant. Mm-hmm. And he'll send. They were concerned about city staff and some of the questions. But I had a meeting with Tony Delgado, assistant city manager, mm-hmm. and he said he wasn't aware of anything and that, you know, he'd do what he could to keep everything moving forward, because I explained to him how important this was to the housing authority and the like. And,
So you talked to Tony?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I might get a chance to see Doug in a couple of meetings that he sits on the same board as I do.
Okay.
So I'll put the bug in his ear.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. You can meet Steve Bissonette all the time. He's not with the city anymore, so.
Right, I know. I saw Steve at Alice's
going
away.
In the minutes, there's something about the Arbor Manor, the other environmental thing. They're still concerned something about the water quality.
It's the parts.
Parts per million or something?
Yeah, but when they showed us the area that's affected, it's the whole state of Florida.
Okay.
So So it's kind of like a
part sort of like radon gas.
Yeah, it's radon
gas. Exactly.
It was radon exactly. gas. Was that what it was? Mm-hmm. Wasn't water quality? Was radon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's going to be everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So
it's out there in the air. It's just when it gets in buildings and gets trapped, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. And of course, after we have to do the environment, we did phase two as required. And
okay. So if it's just radon, that's It's in the ground. It's in the ground all over the place.
Our renewable to the state.
Yeah. It's not just the state. It's all over the country.
All over the country.
Oh, really?
It's not just Florida.
Okay.
But,
that
it's just more of it in Florida.
It's punishment for the beautiful climate and weather.
That's right.
That's right. Better than all that snow they're getting up and on.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I know why I came here.
So, on the 10th Street property, the buyer and tenant are working with the city as far as the rezoning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think he sent me an email today because the attorneys are putting pressure on him and say, hey, will you send the next deposit? But I think what it is, the public process just makes them nervous. Because as you know, when we go through a rezoning, you have to present it to the neighborhood and they have to have a say. But, I don't anticipate
it's always, the way they word those things, it could be almost anything.
That's right.
Yeah. But, like I said, I used to be a city planner, so I went through a lot of those. And, it's just par for the course.
Yeah. But it's nothing objectionable they're planning on putting in there, is there?
No. Okay. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
It creates jobs. You know, and it's a separate case.
Well, as long as it's not a strip joint or something.
We negotiated that out. Maybe that was not an option.
you don't go water and sand.
That and alcohol.
If you need any help pushing it through, let us know.
And with the other one, we want to do a presentation for you all. Believe it or not, HUD did actually approve our agency plan. Oh. The shop actually got it in writing. It came, was it yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yesterday.
Oh.
They sent a letter approving.
Well, good.
Right. We still need to do this amendment process. And we're going to walk you through that because there are some proposed uses of funds that was not identified in the plan that was recently approved. And so that's what we have to do, the amendment. We'll walk you through that and call us.
Yeah, and the main reason to do this is because after talking to the financial advisor, the fee account,
mm-hmm.
Because we have the $1.9 million, we have other money reserved for public housing, and we don't want HUD to come back and recoup that money. We need to obligate the funding. So for the job training program,
for one second. I know you're going to go over this later, but just to help them keep up. That 1.9 is the 800,000 we had in there previously,
right.
Plus the 1.1.
Right. So due to that, they recommended for us to do certain activities or go through certain processes. So if HUD were to come after the money, they will not be able to do it. So the significant amendment is going to be based on the job training.
I'm sorry. This is the public notice that's been posted in the newspaper.
So basically, this is a summary of the presentation.
That second paragraph there. Yeah. You know, how far they're seeking approval from. Do y'all, you got one?
Yeah, well, just to add clarity, remember, if you take your mind back to when we were submitting the agency plan, based on us being in a December 31st fiscal year, means that we have to have our plan submitted by middle of October. And that's when we did our series of public hearings on our agency plan, our intentions for moving forward over the next, at least immediate future, 5-year period. And all of that was brought to the September 29th board meeting. On that same day, the Miami field office decided that they wanted to come and conduct another site visit. And the main purpose for that, obviously, was the fact that they knew that we had $1.5 million in the non-federal account, and they wanted to have an opportunity before the financial data schedule had to be submitted the following day on September 30th to get us to transfer that money from non-federal to public housing reserves. What created two issues for us, other than the one that we don't have non-federal reserves, is that here we're submitting our agency plan. It has to go in by the 15th, but you don't. That's a major change, because at the time we did the financials for the plans, you looked at what your public housing operating reserves were. They were $800,000. If you looked at the proposed uses, we didn't really make a proposed uses. So in the agency plan portion of that document, it's nothing designated for that money. Now, here you are, about to do your submission to HUD. You've added $1.1 million to it. And you, as Carlos was explaining, that the fee account is saying you do not want to give HUD the opportunity to say we don't need to give you operating subsidies because you have now $1.9 million in reserves. And so you could use that for operations. So what they talked about is that you need to actually earmark the money for projects that you're doing that's going to benefit your affordable housing communities. Not that we would have had the ability to do that before the October 15th submission, because, again, that's a major change. So now that we've had an opportunity to step back, look at how the downsizing of the agency has impacted our programs, our residents, our staff, as well as moving forward is what we're going to try to do in the future so that will give the most, what I call, bang for the buck for our families that live in our communities. We now are able to say that there are three things that we really need to do with that $1.9 million that should be the main reason why HUD would not want us to use it on operations. The first thing would be is that we have that extensive green physical needs assessment across all the properties that contain public housing units. And if you total them up over the next 20 years, you're looking at millions of dollars, over $20 million. And some of the items are immediate items because they are concerning life safety. And so what we have been doing since we got that green physical needs assessment is taking the worst areas that bring us the most risk as a landlord and addressing those with our capital funds, but the capital funds will not be enough to take care of all of the level one needs. So now we're looking at the communities where we could possibly have more potential to go ahead and take those deficiencies out of the properties. And a good thing to do that, a good source, would be these reserves, because it still will be benefiting public housing or affordable housing. It will be helping families that live in the existing communities. We have projects such as the modernization of Cecil Goldberg, where we had started doing plans to try to improve the lives of those seniors, but we didn't have enough money in public housing to pay for the project. So it's an opportunity for us to go back to the city, incorporate the changes that they requested when they were reviewing the drawing, and see if we can not only address some of the green physical needs that were in the GP&A, but also to address the other life safety issues, you know, that will enhance their quality of life. Not just that, if they decide, well, we don't want you to put all of the funds in one place, that's why we want our plan to be flexible. We talk about green physical needs at the various affordable housing communities that we have, because they may say that, okay, we understand that you can improve 37 people's lives at Cecil Goldberg, but how about you just hit all your level one across the five communities that were there? So we don't know how the Miami field office is going to take it. We're trying to do plans so that we can go either way and the money will be used and our families will benefit, but also job readiness, because we want to make sure that our families are moving towards self-sufficiency. And since we no longer have a community and supportive services department, that we at least have a vendor that can do job readiness and help get families who can work working and improving their lifestyles and being able to pay more rent, then that would be a benefit for all of public housing. So we wanted to keep the amendment broad enough, but didn't want, when you finally go through your master planning process or your strategic planning process with the board first and then master planning later with the design firm, that if it was determined that we needed to take a different direction, all those properties have been designated because they've been reviewed by a green physical needs assessment. They have some form of public housing or Section 8 on them and would benefit. But also, if we wanted to do something new outside of that, because it gave us a better opportunity and ability to get cash flow, that we could. So those were the three broad areas that we're looking to add to the agency plan, because at the time, on September 29th, it didn't make sense, because what could you do with $800,000, you know? But $1.9 million is a little bit different, because you actually have something that you could leverage or add to other funds. Okay. And I'm sorry with that.
Oh, no, you're doing great.
I give it back to Carlos.
So all of those things you outlined here in the public notice, mm-hmm. Is pertaining to public housing.
Uh-huh.
All of those things.
Yeah. We utilize the public housing funds. So.
That's what I'm saying. But utilize the public housing funds. Got to be used for public housing, right?
In some of the communities, there's some public housing,
right.
And
yeah,
some
tax
mixed
housing.
Right.
But you can use it on the mixed use as long as it's...
As long as you're spending the money... As long as 50%, if you have 100 unit public housing and 100 unit tax credit, as long as the matching fund is the same,
right.
Ratio,
okay.
Then you're fine.
Okay.
Which is why we use the term affordable housing, because public housing is
right.
One of the most affordable
housing.
Right.
Yeah.
But didn't want to limit it. If we had used the term public housing, then HUD was like, oh, it shouldn't even have tax credits attached. And you know that you may not have enough funds to do everything that you need to do, because even if we sell Auburn Manor and the property on 10th Street, we still have Williamstown as well as the property on 10th Street across from Colton Meadow,
right.
That could actually be developed into affordable housing communities, and it would have some ratio of public housing tax credits or just, you know, public housing.
No,
we're not sure without having the developer on board and knowing how the financials work. We don't want to back ourselves.
That's right. Yeah. And that was my concern. I don't know how Miami might react to it and come back, so we need to have our guns loaded in case they come back at us, you know, as to why this is the best plan to implement. Yeah.
Okay, so this is using the public housing operating fund reserves for these
right,
purposes.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. You'll see, too, is like, because even the approval letter, they thought that we're approving this plan, we want us to approve all the strategies and all that.
Yeah, right, okay.
Because with other public housing authorities, you know, they have a lot of different strategies and the like, and so it's kind of like the boilerplate language they put in approval letter. And that letter be in your board package. Mm-hmm. And another thing, you know, I was going to say, which is probably, again, redundant, is that the agency plan, you know, even though it says agency plan, it applies to the public housing units.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, tax credit units, you know, have their own center that they have to go through, and that's why it's, you know, the, like I said, built in with affordable housing, because we have two or three kings that we have to report to.
Yeah.
The tax credit people, you know, the like, and so.
No, I like the strategy. It makes sense, you know.
And we're hoping to, that once we've got the architects back re-engaged, and we can actually maybe sometime later in the month have an actual strategic planning meeting so you could see the options and what the benefits would be,
right,
you know, for the board. First to you guys, then to the board, and then that way we can start looking at going ahead and submitting development proposals to HUD.
Let's encumber the money.
Yeah, because it's great to have it earmarked with a board resolution, in which we could do as early as March.
Right.
But it's sealed in stone once you actually have some a project that is obligated to.
Right.
So definitely want to be working towards
the quickest way to, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Sorry, Colin.
On the green physical needs assessment, you know, when they come and do that, that's like a REAC inspection, basically, is it?
It's almost like a REAC inspection. It's just, they take a sample of all the units and all the buildings, and then based on the sample, that they make their own the reports, and you know, also based on the information that we give them, for example, the age of the AC unit, the age of the floor, you know, different information that we provided to them.
Because it seems to me on things like the age of the air conditioning unit and so forth, that we should have a kind of what. When I was in the business, you know, we did a 15-year projection of what was going to be wearing out when, and you put money away each month so that when that does wear out, you got the money.
Oh, no, we do. Every property, they have their own replacement reserve money. However, the GP&A, they have, they're based on a different model, let's say, because HUD is more conservative than the private market. For HUD, you may have to replace the unit every 20 years. For the private market, maybe every 10 years. So, you know, it is a little bit different.
And Vi can elaborate a little bit on that, but I'll throw my 2 cents in there. That's one of the programs like green physical needs assessment, you know, what we call traditionally how it had not been planning. Mm-hmm. And that's what's one of the purposes of that green physical.
Yeah, because once you get behind in that, you're in trouble.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's right.
And for Westlake, we're behind.
But that green physical needs assessment, it is a funded mandate. Okay.
That's true too. Yeah.
You know, we got a huge need, $several million of needs across our properties, but we don't have the funding. And even though HUD mandated this, and I think that's one of the reasons they've been somewhat amenable to the current plan that we have, because they know we got needs that they're not going to be able to fund.
Yeah, because if you got money in your reserve for replacement, that's not money they can say, oh, you got to use that for operations.
But this
is different.
But when they had us pay back public housing,
that money went to operating.
Yeah. So that's where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if you don't earmark it,
it can go away again.
It can be tempting for them to make it go away.
They could take it to Washington, D.C.
And with the, and what you have to remember, too, with the green physical needs assessment, the issue has been that prior to the new capital fund program rules, only large housing authorities had to really do GP&A. Mm-hmm. The small ones didn't have to because they knew, why are we going to force them to tell us what their liabilities are, and then is it writing if someone gets hurt because they can't fix it, we get sued, including
and we don't have the money to support them.
But now they're realizing they are coming up on a situation like it was in the 90s before they put HOPE 6. And, you know, HOPE 6 is the housing opportunities for people everywhere, but it's the sixth version. Well, before then, they weren't really doing assessments to see the state of their properties.
Yep.
And then they found out they had billions of dollars across the country that they needed to fund, which forced Congress into the HOPE 6 program.
Yeah.
They are feeling that because that program was going through all the redevelopment and revitalization in the 90s, and as much as it hurts me, you know, that was 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, then they're realizing that same housing stock that was new in their crown jewels of public housing is now worn. Mm-hmm. And they may have another multi-billion dollar problem on their hands across the country as far as getting it repaired because of all the life safety. So the main purpose for them to find out for all agencies across the country, regardless of whether or not they were small or large, what are the immediate needs that have to be done and what would it cost us to do it? And then we'll look to see what we got to do and make the adjustments. So another reason for having the language in this written is such as we figured they probably will never let you say do a project that will benefit a site. Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, because money is something that's been a big battle with Congress between the parties, they'll probably say, we want you across all your properties to handle your level 1 and 2 needs as far as you can get with the 1 point.
And then when you do it, whether you have money to do it or not, you need to do it.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And I want to add something too, and again, this is preliminary, okay? The other concern, you know, that's why there's a different amendment, is with the projections that we got for Dakota. Our fear, kind of one of our advisors, is projecting a reduction in subsidy. Now, you know, and I'm sure you're very familiar, we finally got Dakota to be profitable. You know, that kind of thing. And now what's her going to do?
Take it back.
Want to reduce that subsidy.
Yep.
And, but that, like, again, that's the projection. Those are projected. It's not final yet, but that's what we're anticipating.
We're still asking HUD to give us the same, you know. But, and also we don't want the same thing that happened in 2012 to happen again. 2012, we show in the FDA report that we had about $2 million in reserves, and what HUD did, they were sending us half of the subsidy every month. But then we were fiscally responsible, so we didn't give the employees raises. We didn't do certain things that we were supposed to do, but that money went to housing authorities like New York, Chicago, where they do give bonuses to the employees, and they do give. So it was kind of like heartbreaking because, you know, we tried to do our best to save the money, but other housing authorities, they were getting the benefit of it. So, yeah. You know.
Under this proposal, somebody wants to put something to Congress and for federal agencies, if you can save some money, you don't have to spend all your money, mm-hmm. or send it back. If you save it, then they go give you a 25% of what you save to use however you want to use it.
Send back the rest.
Sorry, I don't trust
you. Not likely going to pass. But it makes some sense. Mm-hmm. But not likely to pass.
Well, before 1998, house authorities were allowed to save money.
Yeah.
And that changed because Washington saw all the money in different house authorities.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then they saw some of them that were just sitting there empty, that were just, you know, mm-hmm. blight.
Right.
And they were sending money for those things, and they were just sitting there.
So basically, okay. Valerie went through all the presentation.
No,
that's great. Hey, at least I have an accent, you don't. Well, let me rephrase that.
I have the southern, extremely southern.
But with the budget modifications, the first one is for...
Yeah, what changed on there?
Everything is... All the changes are...
the gray highlights?
Gray,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the public housing, the first one is the usage of the public housing reserve to pay for the... CSS contract.
CSS stands for
the Community Support Services.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Job readiness training, job search.
The contract job is for job training and that kind of thing.
The second change is a slight reduction in subsidy income. But again, that is as of January. I don't know if that's really going to be permanent. So, but
what was the old number there?
It was 58,000 per
mm-hmm.
month.
Per month. Mm-hmm.
The second change, or the third change, is in the admin salaries. We're adding a facilities manager to the AMP, to public housing, to help with the physical need assessment and everything that we had to do in order to stay on top of all these repairs. And
so where we just went through a riff, now we're adding a person.
Mm-hmm. But we got to.
But when we get to COCC...
Remember that riff cut bones. Okay, it cut deep into the bones. And we just got to now be realistic.
Well,
when
we're realistic and we look at that bottom line at the end here and we say we got cash flow of $175, that doesn't leave any room for anything to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Anything happens.
Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily a full-time position, though, because it's based on need. See, the problem gets into is once you get the architects re-engaged, you got to have someone that's able to respond to meet the timelines. Unfortunately, at the same time, you have the person who typically would be doing that would be me, but I'm having to push it to the site. It's because at the same time, we're having to do taxes, we're having to do the financials for the partnerships, we still have to get our unaudited FDS in by the end of this month, plus once we get past that, we've got to get our capital budgets in by March, and then we got to get our audited financials done. So it's a continuous process, so it's not realistic that I would be able to address their questions and the auditor. So on a part-time basis, you do need to have somebody who can respond to those engineers.
Would that be a full-time position?
The hours are based on, it wouldn't be necessarily full-time because you're going to, it depends on
the need.
Yeah, the demand. So, yes, they'll be helping at the properties and focusing on public housing, not on the tax credit properties, but actually on our housing stock, Renaissance Dakota, Westlake, John Wright, Cecil Goldberg, where we actually have the most physical needs.
Do you have somebody in mind for this position already?
Is it going to be a recall, or are you going to do it from within?
It's a recall.
Well, it's...
Well, he's still working as a volunteer, so not
Tom,
getting
Tom
paid.
Martin.
But
oh, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, amongst us, we have to be as transparent as we can. You know,
because
if it's going to be doing them, that's fine.
It's badly needed.
And he likes his. I mean, the bad thing about him being laid off is he realized, boy, when I don't have to be at work Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, you know, I don't necessarily want to be available full time. I want to have the freedom to do, which is good for us because we really don't want a full time salary person.
And then plus, you know, totally transparent, I don't know where we would be without his volunteerism.
Oh yeah, and I think it's a positive stroke. I mean, we had to do a layoff. Now we at least to recall somebody for part time, at least anyhow to fill in the gap. So
yeah, we laid him off November 3rd, and he has come to work every week since then.
Yeah, so it's a win-win. You know,
helping the properties and me filling gaps at no price, no mileage.
We're going to follow all of the proper procedures. You know,
I think in doing this, you know, with the budget being. You know,
it's tight.
As tight as it is,
it's tight.
You know, everybody needs to understand that if we got to pull the trigger, pull the trigger quick and not wait.
Yeah, we got to really watch this closely.
Yeah, you can't wait a quarter and then say it's going to get better and wait another quarter and it didn't you?
Mm-hmm. No, your point's well taken.
Yeah.
We're watching everything because we've been, I don't want to use the word juggling, but, you know, moving people around. You know, to make this budget to be where it is, where it could break even. Because when you compare this to what it was last year, year before that, and all that, you'll see that this is significant, very significant improvement. And we're still making it work, even though, like when I started here, they had like 111 employees, be down to 35, 36. But the workload has not changed.
Right.
Okay.
So in the maintenance section, there was a slight difference between the true numbers and the numbers, the projections. It's still lower than the 2014 budget. So those are the changes. Then for the COCC, there are significant changes started in February. Basically, we moved the full-time HR position to part-time, and also the admin assistant, the executive assistant, from full-time to part-time. So those are significant savings for COCC.
So what you're saying is there's reductions in the salaries in this one.
Mm-hmm. You can see the difference between January and February. That's the reduction then every month.
Oh, okay.
Moving forward, yeah.
You know what would be helpful, I think, for the board to understand is to, in the areas where there's going to be changes, to show either the increase or decrease.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we know which way it's going.
Yeah. So we,
yeah.
we know
these. We know there's changes. We don't know what it's up
yeah,
or down.
Yeah. We don't know what it was.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So just to show if some of them are increased, we'll increase. But if it's a decrease, so it'll eliminate the questions.
Okay. So you want a column that shows percentage?
Yeah.
Or a footnote or something.
Just a footnote. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As a footnote.
Just do a footnote to say you know the change
Used to be
in admin is an increase or a decrease, and the change in maintenance is a decrease or an increase by what dollar amount? Yeah. You know.
Okay.
And then for COCC, another addition is the fee accounting.
No, back on the public calendar, on the training, that first line that the change on. Now, is that out of operating, or is that some of these monies we're talking about here?
That's some of that money.
Okay.
The part of the $1.9 million is.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we need to point that out too.
That's not coming out of the old. That's coming out of
the
research.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So
yeah.
We want to be upfront about that. That's coming out of the reserve, right?
Right. Right. Okay. That's.
However, if the property or the AMP has enough savings, then we don't have to tap into the reserve.
Okay.
Now, just to address Commissioner Smith's question, or concern, or not a question, concern about the cash flow ending up at 175.30. What's the plan in case we do hit a blip?
Yeah. Which line item do we have wiggle room in?
Right. Which what's our
I always left some wiggle room in one line item somewhere where I felt like I wasn't expecting to spend that much.
Yeah.
Well, we have actually what I did, because what I'm trying to do is to spend all the public housing money, because for public housing you're not supposed to have cash flow.
Oh yeah.
So the wiggle room is in the training and expenses and travel. So
okay.
I increase a little bit for the travel for commissioners too. So you know, there's a. You can actually save $3,000-$5,000 if people don't want to travel. So,
just as long as you have a plan, the board is going to be just like us. We go right to the bottom line.
Plan B is, let's say, generate operating property in such a way that we can collect our fees.
Right.
So
right.
We can generate income and the like. And then Plan C is to do some new development, whether that's rehab of this property or new construction.
What about on our property insurance premiums? Do we have any room in there for change? Because you never know what it's going to be.
Yeah, we're with Farmy, and
they're
stable on their prices.
Yeah, they'd be there about it. There's this one company that was soliciting housing authorities, for their property insurance and the like. And when they did the comparison, and I guess I should make a full disclosure,
you're on the board.
Yeah, little bias, but the numbers, there's a significant difference between what Farming was saving and, what the other.
LHAs have somebody on that board most of the time, I think.
Right.
Well, the biggest comparison is we have a van, old van. The insurance, the auto insurance through Farm is $500
a year.
We tried with another company, it was going to be $3,300.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. That's good.
Just,
all right.
So.
Okay. Move on to COC.
Okay. And so, but In addition to that, I'm still revising or reviewing all the budget just to make sure that we don't go to the second quarter with numbers that are not close to be true numbers.
Yes, that's what we want. We're going to stay on top of that.
Yeah, that's good.
So I'm done with the presentation.
We're in full agreement on that. Okay.
Yeah, the next thing will be we are gonna schedule.
I'm so sorry. I have a landlord here that she wants to be in the meeting because it was advertised as public.
Yeah.
Okay, just want to let you know.
But there's no public speaking.
Just public. Okay.
She can listen.
She can listen, but, you know, that's.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yes.
What
are you
going to say?
Good afternoon.
Hello. How
are you today? I'm well. Okay. Carlos, you're
not supposed to speak. Just I have to be cautious. So we would like to schedule a commissioner's meeting, a retreat. Maybe a day. So we need to talk about not only the budget and the changes and deviations and agency plan, but also we have to start planning on what we're going to be doing with Dakota. We're about a year and a half away from the property reaching the 15 years, so we need to work together on on a plan. What the board wants, what the ED wants to do with that property, we want to buy it back. If we want to convert the property into 100% public housing, the Renaissance, the same case. Renaissance is about 20 months away from reaching the 15 years. So, you know, we have two of our biggest properties that are going to be exiting their tax credit period. So we need to really think about what we're going to be doing with those properties, and how buying or selling those properties are going to help the agency.
So we're on the full board, so you guys can pick a date, because I know we just sent out an annual calendar, but we may need to change the March meeting.
The reason why we may have to change the March meeting is because, again, we downsized all the staff, and we have been working really hard on trying to get all the numbers together. And today we realize, oh my God, we need 45 days to do this and this and this and to get it approved. We count it, and so.
Yeah, that's that 45 day permit review. That's what you're referring to before.
Okay.
Right.
Just put that
and we wanted to bring that to you all, after we went through the public comment period, that 45 day public comment period.
We need to put that on the agenda to deal with that and to talk about the retreat.
Okay.
Anything else under old business?
No, sir.
Anything under other business?
No, sir.
Okay, the presentation we've already done.
That's what Valerie did.
That's what this was.
Yeah, Valerie went through everything.
That's what this was.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you, regarding the presentation, is passing all color copies good, or y'all wanted to be on the big screen?
Do black and white. Save the money.
Okay.
Now that's the other thing I was gonna ask. I think that because all this information that you share with us is very important. But I would like to see this in the package for the full board. And I'm asking a lot, but if you could get it to them in advance.
At least a week.
Yeah, it would help. Okay. Because it's great for us to do, but then when we get in the meeting and it's the first time they've had a chance to look at it.
It
takes up time and we end up answering the same questions over and over.
What I could do,
or they feel slighted.
That's right.
I could do is that then what we may do, we'll just send this out separately,
Yeah, that's fine.
This is what discussed in the recovery plan review
committee, and it will be discussed. At the request of the recovery committee, we're sending out these documents because we have to remember that we're just a subcommittee.
We're an ad hoc committee.
Yeah, we can't vote on anything for the board. The board has to vote on.
Yeah, we can't usurp their power.
No, that's right. All we can do is help shorten the meeting.
That's right. That's right.
That's our job.
That's our job.
To keep the meeting short. Okay. So all right. Just a quick recap. We're going to. The public notice has already been posted, correct? And it outlines exactly what we're asking in the amendment. And so the amendment should be pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. And you prepare the amendment for us to vote on?
No, the amendment is going to be for March.
That's what I mean, a resolution.
Yes. Yes.
Right,
yes.
But not for this board meeting. But that's why we need to, after 45 days, we want to make sure that the public has had an opportunity to comment, and that we've incorporated their comments into it before bringing it.
So this was dated January 29th, so it's 45 days from there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the resolution will be presented within 45 days after the announcement went out. Okay.
So that'll be in March.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I just thought of one bit of other business.
Yep, go ahead.
Have you all been receiving your emails to your LHA accounts?
I've been receiving them in both.
Right, we've been sending them to both of them, and I just wanted to give everyone a chance to make sure that they were receiving it. So I'm thinking that maybe next month we'll stop sending. We just started the LHA account exclusively.
Okay. I just had to talk to IT guy. I'm still having a little bit of a problem, but I'll call him.
Okay.
And get it straightened out. It's probably on my end.
Okay.
So I'm sure it's probably not him. Okay, any other business that needs to come before us at this point? There's no other business, and I want to again thank the staff and the director for their due diligence in staying on top of things. I guess the only question I might have is the one that comes up every meeting. Are we doing our draws on time? Drawing down?
That's the other way to keep us on top of their money, right?
And no negative balance.
That's right.
We are still locked out of FSS, which we are trying to get resolved today.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we had already spent the money in the grants. That's a good thing, because if not, the grants or the terms overlap, so that was another opportunity. HUD said they weren't going to let you have access to the 2014 grant to all of the 2013 grant was expended, and of course they were concerned about expenditure deadlines, and so of course anything that didn't get spent during that time frame would have been recaptured. We've spent all of our 2013, so it's basically just going, we're doing the grant closeout with the lottery module. And so we're thinking once that gets submitted, that they'll go ahead and take the lock off, because that grant will be officially closed.
Okay.
And we can actually draw down. So the FSS is the one that we have not drawn down funds.
But they okay. On the old one.
On the
2013.
No, we've expended that.
No, that's right.
Okay.
2014.
Yeah, 2014 we don't have access to it.
But it's been funded, but we don't have access to it.
Right. We believe that once we get all of the closeout, because we sent them numerous emails, but we believe once we give them the closeout package and they see that everything is officially closed out, not just expenditure of the money, but also the paperwork associated with the grant, that they'll take the lock off.
Can you actually talk to people on the phone anymore, or do you have to do emails?
We do emails. We do have their numbers, but this particular grant manager does not like for you to call them. So talking to this particular one, would make her more aggravated than.
Gotta keep them happy.
Yeah.
Oh, she's never gonna be happy.
It's always easier to say no on an email.
And she's a yeller. When you talk to her, she starts increasing her voice. And you were like, okay, you know, we work together.
I don't care.
And she still will not acknowledge me, even though I submit all the draws, and she'll ask. The funny thing is, she'll ask Tom questions, mm-hmm. and Tom will try to explain. I'm the
and
one.
And he's not authorized.
And mm-hmm. she won't even respond to me. She responds to him.
Oh well, why don't you talking to somebody? Yeah. That's good. So
she likes Tom.
Okay, well, good.
She and the Miami officer.
Give it what she mm-hmm. likes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so anything from your desk, Ben?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you so much, and we appreciate it. Okay. This meeting will adjourn at 2:50. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Okay. Oh, did we have a choice?
Hey, you always have a choice. You can say, I'm sorry you don't have a forum today, right?
Oh, well, yeah. You know,
if he was here, we'd have a forum. We'd have 50%.
I
know. We were up yesterday, but...
2:50 meeting adjourned.
Oh, he came by. Yeah. Good. I don't know how I missed that call.